This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. You want Mr. Wolfe to what?
Mr. Wolfe will do nothing of the sort, Archie. Mr. Wolfe is thirsty.
Hold on for a moment. The bottle opener's in the left-hand drawer of your desk.
Thank you, Archie.
Mr. Wolfe, I've got a man named Denby on the phone. He wants you to umpire a card game.
Man is insane.
He's offering a fee.
The answer is no. I know nothing of card games, nor do I wish to learn.
Okay. Well, the answer's no, Mr. Denby. Sure, I'll ask him again. After he finishes the beer he's working on. Goodbye.
People appall me. The fantasies they indulge in. Bah, what on earth made that maniac think I might consent to preside at a card game?
Well, seems he expects one of the players to be death.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Wolf would not attend, but the card game went on anyway. At the home of a Mr. Stephen Denby.
Gene?
Yes?
The custom? Mr. Piper? I think we're ready to begin, eh?
I'm ready.
Yes, Gene, you always are.
How I like that remark, I'll have to decide later on.
Yeah, please do. The custom?
It's all right with me.
And Mr. Piper?
I brought a deck.
No, as host, I shall supply the cards.
Before we play, I examine them, yes?
Of course. Here you are. Chuck?
Yeah, Mr. Denby?
You will remain outside the door until called. No one is to enter this room under any circumstances.
Got it.
Lacasta?
The cards look all right.
Thank you. Now then, shall we make things absolutely clear?
You mean, should you make a speech? I don't mind.
But make it short, huh?
I shall. The four of us seated at this table are joint owners of the Candy Club, a rather successful institution devoted to the sale of food, liquor, entertainment...
And the gambling.
And games of chance. For some time now, we have all resented sharing the profits. Some of us have attempted to buy out the others.
Denby, you needn't babble on. No one wants to sell. We know that.
True, Mr. Piper. Which is the reason for this little game of cards. One hand shall be dealt to each of us. A hand at poker. Whoever wins, gets the club. The others, retire as gracefully as they can. Agreed?
That's why we...
Agreed.
Very well. The cards are shuffled. I'll place them in the center of the table. Macasto, would you like to...
I cut.
Good.
If nobody minds, I'll cut them too. After Mr. Lacasto.
Nobody minds. Happy now, Mr. Piper?
Let's get going, huh?
Very well. Unless Jean would care to...
Oh, we're all crooks here, which sort of cancels out any funny business with a card.
Very well. We shall all draw a card in turn until five cards are drawn by each player. Shall we start, Jean?
Sure.
Lacasto?
Okay.
Mr. Piper?
Yes, of course.
And myself. We just keep going in rotation.
This is fun.
Fun? No. There's too much money which rides on these cards.
That's what makes it fun.
Would you mind keeping quiet? I'm nervous.
We all are, one way or another. I think we all have our five cards now.
We all got them.
Very well, then. In the same order that the cards were dealt. Jean?
A pair of threes.
Lucasto?
Nothing.
Mr. Piper?
Kings. Two.
Well, what?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da. Hey. Hey, I don't like to seem stuffy, mister, but will you take your elbow out of my back?
I'd be delighted to, Mr. Goodwin, but it's not my elbow.
I don't care if it's your tibia maximus. Just take it away.
Chuck wouldn't like that.
Well, we have company. Mind if I look around?
Keep right on walking, pal.
Well, that would be Chuck behind me, huh? And you are...
My name is Denby. You may remember it.
Oh, yeah. You phoned a couple of hours ago about a card game. Now, look, just what is your boy poking in my back?
I think it's a 38.
You're not sure?
It might be a 45.
Chuck, is it loaded?
Make a funny move, pal, and you'll find out the hard way.
Yo, wait a minute. It's just a passing curiosity. Where are we going?
My car. Get in.
If you insist, I guess you do. Okay.
I'll drive, Chuck.
The car bulletproof?
No, that's hardly necessary. Chuck shoots first.
Well, it's a saving, I guess. The only thing is, I hadn't figured on taking a ride. I told Mr. Wolf I was going for a walk. He disapproved,
You're
but...
going for a ride.
Isn't that a little corny?
Now, there's a minor difference. Usually the guest, shall we say, is killed at the conclusion of the ride. In this
Let's
case...
Let's not make the difference too minor. Huh?
You will survive the ride. It's what comes afterwards that might kill you. You see, Mr. Goodwin, my friends and I have a little mystery to solve.
You want me to solve it?
No. We want Mr. Wolf to solve it. In order to do so, he must leave his house and come to mine. He has to in order to find the solution quickly.
Why?
Neither my friends nor myself have any desire to improve our acquaintance with the police. Therefore, we want the mystery solved before the police are even called in. Hence our need for Mr. Wolf. Hence our detaining you.
Detaining is a pretty word in the circumstances.
Now, this is my home, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, well, I don't like the architecture. I think I'll stay out.
Get going, pal.
On second thought, Mr. Denby, what makes you think Mr. Wolf is going to leave his house and come here?
You. Unless he does so, he will lose you forever. The door, Chuck.
Okay.
Mr. Goodwin, may I introduce you to my associates in business and in poker? To your right, Mr. Locasto, a charming but impulsive fellow.
Hello.
He's only the stooge. Where's the fat fellow?
In time, Locasto. The lovely lady whose back is to you is Jean. Jean something or other. She's always changing her name.
Hello.
Hello.
And the gentleman facing you is Mr. Piper.
How do you do? Is he exclusive or just... Hey, he's wearing his red carnation a little low, isn't he? Over his heart. Except that's no carnation.
That, Mr. Goodwin, is blood. Lifeblood.
Archie. Oh, Pa, he's always taking walks. Come in, the door's unlocked.
Are you... You're Wolf.
Having made a magnificent discovery, suppose you remove your hat?
Nah, come on.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Denby wants to see you.
Mr. Denby can see me here.
Here ain't where he wants to see you.
Here, at the risk of minor monotony, is where he'll have to see me.
Don't you want your boy Goodwin to keep on living?
No one has ever been able to discourage him.
Mr. Denby will.
Archie's in custody?
No, in Mr. Denby's house under a gun.
I don't have to believe that.
Take a look at this.
A wallet. Archie's wallet. I shall accompany you. And permit me to warn you that if Mr. Goodwin has been harmed, nothing short of murder will satisfy me.
It's getting late. Wolf isn't here yet. Maybe he doesn't worry about you, Goodwin.
Well, he could have been delayed. Maybe an orchid needed a pollen transfusion or something. Besides, only the good die young.
Then you must be very, very good, Archie.
That remark I didn't care for.
We sit here and wait for the fat one, but in the meanwhile, the police...
The police will come when we notify them.
But they will not like the delay we make to notify them. I say we waste time. I say the fat one will not risk coming.
You say entirely too much.
Is that so? Maybe I kill you myself.
Picasso, put that gun away.
Yes, darling, Archie should have a chance to live. Not long, if Wolf doesn't come.
Stop looking so pleased.
Are you afraid to die, Archie?
Yeah, well, I'm not looking forward to it. It's so final. Besides, I didn't eat a hearty dinner, and it... Oh, the Marines have landed.
Who is it?
Chuck, Admiral Wolf.
Let him in. Shut the door, Chuck. Stay outside.
Archie?
Hello, Mr. Wolf. Oh, am I glad to see you.
I regret I cannot say the same thing. Last year, why couldn't you stay at home instead of taking those confounded walks? I warned you it'd be dangerous.
Yeah, but Mr. Wolf, it wasn't the fresh air that got me. It was Denby.
Mr. Wolf, I knew you wouldn't come here without some sort of pressure. I thought the method I used would be most effective.
Would you really have killed Archie if I hadn't come?
I would have had no choice. I would have been stuck with a witness to an unsolved murder.
Suppose I cannot solve it.
I should be forced to apply the same logic to two witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wolf, you really came here to save my life, huh?
Nonsense. I came here for a fee, Mr. Denby.
I have a check for $1,000 already made out.
Clear it up. You forget. I left my home. I traveled unprotected through the streets of this city, exposed to motor accidents, to fresh air, too. You offer me $1,000.
Will $2,500 do?
Barely. Archie, will you take the check? Now... I presume you want me to find who killed the gentleman at the table, the one facing me, huh?
His name is Mr. Piper.
The name is no importance. Will you all sit at the table in the same position you were at the time of the shooting?
Of course. Jean, Picasso.
Good. Now for a look at the wound. The lights, I should imagine, went out for a while when the shooting occurred.
They went out.
Yes. Of the three of you at the table, which one had the best motive for the murder?
We all have the same motive. The club.
Helpful. There was no one else in the room at the time?
No one.
The door?
Locked. With Chuck on guard outside of it.
So much for that. The windows, I notice, are closed. They were closed when the murder took place?
They were closed.
The window panes are all unbroken, which eliminates the possibility of the shot being fired from outside of them, unless one of them was raised and lowered.
That wouldn't have been possible. The windows are secured by catches.
Archie, will you check that?
Okay, Mr. Wolf.
I shall for the moment assume that the windows are neither lying nor untrustworthy. Does anyone remember anything unusual occurring at the time of the shooting?
Well, someone whispered Piper just before the shot.
Indeed. You all heard that whisper?
We heard it.
Man's voice or woman?
Well, I can't say. A whisper doesn't reveal much of anything.
The windows weren't open, Mr. Wolf.
Which leads to...
The fact that it had to be one of us in this room. But which one, Mr. Wolf?
The murder weapon. Yes. Has it been moved?
Nobody touched it. It's laying on the floor where it was dropped.
Interesting. If you look closely, you would observe two oil spots staining the rug between the revolver and the lady's chair, indicating... who sat at the right of Mr. Piper?
I did. Why?
Mr. Denby.
Yes?
If I were you, I would turn Mr. Lacasto over to the police.
You are a liar.
I warned you about that gun, Lacasto.
Was it necessary to shoot Mr. Lacasto?
In the arm, yes. He was reaching for a gun. He'll live, however, till the police take him away. What do I tell them?
You could point out the angle of the wound. As you notice, Mr. Denby, the bullet entered Mr. Piper's heart from the right.
Yes, so it did. Therefore, whoever sat to his right, well, that was Lacasto.
Archie, you have the check?
I have it.
We may as well leave.
Mr. Wolf. You're sure Lacasto shot Piper?
I have indicated the evidence. The rest will be up to the jury. Come, Archie.
Jean.
Yes, Archie.
Now that my life expectancy has increased, what are you doing tomorrow night?
Archie?
I got a scram.
Lancaster 7583.
I'll be ringing your bell. Oh, Mr. Denby, you better do something about Lucasto's arm or he won't live to be executed. You see, the executioner likes them warm before he chills them. Ah, the old homestead looks very nice, Mr. Wolf.
Yes, Archie, you should stay in it more often.
Yeah, but you never get to meet babes like Jean that way.
You never get kidnapped, either. Nor would I have had to leave my home in order to rescue you.
Yeah, well, you earned a nice fee, fast.
Jean?
You seem doubtful about it.
Positive, Archie. I know. I have not as yet earned my fee.
Huh? You mean Denby might not turn Lucasto over to the cops? Of
course he will. The trouble is, you see, Lucasto did not murder Piper.
No? He just thought a bullet in the heart might be good for Piper's rheumatism, huh?
As it happens, Piper suffered from asthma. That's beside the point.
Fine. Mr. Wolf, I'm going to take it for granted that you know who did kill Piper. I'm also going to take it for granted that you won't tell me until you're ready. But why turn Lucasto over to the police?
Two reasons, Archie. First, I had no proof against the real killer. Secondly, we had to supply a scapegoat in order to be permitted to leave the Danby home. You were unarmed, helpless.
Go ahead, rub it in.
Nonsense. It was an interesting problem. I enjoyed it.
It was, huh? Well, to me, it's still in the present tenses. Which reminds me, as old Dr. Titmouse said, there's always a future tense. And in that future tense, Jean.
No, Archie.
Oh, Mr. Wolf, stop. That girl's got a love for blood that appeals to the ghoul in me. Besides, did you notice what she does to her dress?
Archie, I was merely about to say that I have no objections to your dallying with the girl.
Oh, I don't believe it. My ears need overhauling.
I objected only to the future tense. Why not call her now?
Yeah, well, I won't pretend I understand this sudden enthusiasm on your part about my love life. Probably there's some foul, scheming motive at the bottom of it. But who am I to look a gift horse in the mouth? Now, let's see. Her number was,
Lancaster 7583, of course.
This is the most beautiful bar and grill I've ever seen, Archie.
Drank, you mean?
What?
Never mind, never mind.
All right. Archie, did anybody tell you you were beautiful, too?
Well, a girl here and there has mentioned it.
Oh, were they liars?
Nah. Tell me, Jean, how did you ever get into the gambling den racket?
Because I'm a crook.
Well, I suspected that, but,
I want another drink.
You've had enough.
I want another drink, and when Jean wants another drink, no gentleman who is a gentleman...
Jean, get down!
Oh, let me go. I don't want to climb under the table.
You'll stay under here until the barrage stops. I guess the war's over. All right, Jean, get up.
No, now I'm here. I like it. I'm going to stay here for months and months.
Jean, do you realize that somebody just tried to kill you?
And I thought you had such a nice, honest face.
No, 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 not me. Somebody out in the street. I don't know why, but Mr. Wolf will. Come on, pour yourself together and let's go see him.
The nice fat man? All right, I like him.
You do? Why?
Because he'd make such a big corpse.
Is that you, Archie?
Plus Jean.
What made you think I wanted her here?
Well, she's one of your fans. She thinks you'd make a lovely corpse.
What was the reason for bringing her here?
She was shot at. Did you expect her to be?
I expected her to be killed. That's why I sent you to her.
It didn't occur to you I might be killed, too?
It did. I was willing to take the chance.
You were willing? Oh, Mr. Wolf, Jean's a little under the weather.
Splendid. In vino veritas.
Watch your language.
I mean the people in their cups often tell the truth, a proverb of some antiquity. Who shot at you tonight, Jean?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see.
Has it occurred to you that you might just as easily have murdered Piper as not?
But Lucasto killed Piper. You said so yourself.
I lied. Furthermore, why the attack on you if Lucasto was the murderer?
Well, I don't know.
Did you also not know that Lucasto escaped from jail earlier this evening?
You're making that up.
Why should I? Mr. Denby turned him over to the police, LeCoster managed to get away before being jailed.
That's not cricket.
Incidentally, Mr. Denby will be joining us at any moment. I expected you to bring Gene Archie. Therefore, with the exception of Mr. Piper, who is resting in the morgue, and Mr. LeCoster, who is at large, we shall have all the participants in the card game. With them, perhaps, we can deal a new hand, Archie?
Okay. Maybe it's the morgue to tell us Piper escaped. Oh, wrong again. Come in, Mr. Denby.
Mr. Wolf, I'm upset. I heard over the radio about LeCoster's escape. He'll try to kill us all.
Why?
Because we can testify that he murdered Piper.
Truly.
I beg your pardon?
LeCoster did not kill Piper.
But you said that he did.
The only evidence against LeCoster was the angle of the entrance of the bullet that lodged in his heart. May I remind you of the whisper you all heard in the darkness preceding Piper's death?
The whisper that said Piper?
Precisely. We must assume, then, that Piper turned his body in the direction of the whisper. Therefore, the angle of the wound would be wrong for LeCoster, but the correct one for...
Whoever sat opposite Piper.
I sat opposite him, but that doesn't mean I killed him.
Wait, you must have. Once he turned, the bullet must have come from opposite him. Only possible way. That means you, Gene.
No. No, it's a frame.
May I interrupt for a moment? Mr. Denby, if our present analysis is correct, it must have been you who whispered to Piper. Did you?
I hadn't thought about it before, but...
Denby, you're lying.
No, he's not lying. Continue, Mr. Denby.
Well, when the lights went out, I wanted to tell Piper something. He turned to me, and that's when he was shot.
Archie, you've taken all this down.
In my prettiest shorthand, Mr. Wolf.
Good.
I don't know why you're doing this, Denby. Maybe you think if I take the rap, you'll get the club. But remember, LeCoster's still free. He's gunning for all of us. But it'll be you. Especially you, he'll want. Maybe you can talk a jury into sending me up for something I didn't do, but you won't live to gloat about it.
Oh, shut up, Gene. You killed Piper and...
Who's that?
This is, of course, the murderer of Mr. Piper. No comments? Archie, the door, if you please.
Oh, but you said I was the one who...
What kind of idiocy is this?
Archie, I said the door.
Okay, but shall I ask him in or sock him?
You will act as the situation demands.
Yes, sir. For once, I'd like to know what the situation is.
Raise him, Goodwin, and keep him that way. Now back up into the living room.
I don't back up good. My gears...
You want it here?
Never mind. I'll strip a gear.
Archie, what are you doing?
Just what the situation demands, backing up. In case your knowledge of armaments has failed you, our little friend Chuck here is pointing a .38 revolver at me.
Won't save him from the chair.
Maybe not. But it could give me quite a pain in the stomach.
Chuck, what do you think you're doing?
You double-crossing louse.
Gentlemen, if you
so
please.
So you thought you'd run to the fat dick and pin it all on me, huh, Denby?
You don't know what you're talking about. We haven't even mentioned you.
You sure of that, huh? Then why did Wolf phone me and tell me you were about to sing?
Wolf phoned you?
Yeah. Said you were getting ready to feed me to the electrician up the river.
Oh, he was making a stab in the dark, Chuck. Trying to start something.
That's so, Wolf?
Archie, will you read Chuck your notes about Mr. Denby's statement regarding the whisper?
Well, that doesn't mean... It could be misunderstood.
Read me the notes, Goodwin.
Here it is. I quote. When the lights went out, I wanted to tell Piper something. He turned to me and...
That's all I need to hear.
Chuck.
You were selling me out after hiring me to knock off Piper.
You dumb gunman. Now you've given Wolf what he wants, a confession. I was trying to pin it on Gene.
That's what you say now. It's kind of late, though. Too late for you.
No, no, no.
Goodbye, Mr. Denby. Nice shooting, Chuck.
Stay put, Goodwin. The rest of you, I'm leaving.
The police wouldn't approve. But let me have your gun. Huh?
Wise guy. You know something? I've been thinking.
Can you think?
If I was to knock off you and Goodwin, me and Gene could split the club between us and nobody'd ever know who killed Piper.
Very whimsical, Chuck, but if you don't mind...
Archie, don't be an idiot.
Well, if I have to get shot, I prefer it to happen when I'm moving forward.
Archie.
Okay, come and get it, Goodwin. March right up nice and easy and take it.
I'm coming. Would somebody mind telling me why I don't fall down?
Phooey.
I've been shot. Well, that's not the way to talk to a man who's just been... Hey, Chuck is lying down. He...
Is he dead?
Well, there's been a mistake. I didn't shoot him. He shot me.
Archie, stop blabbering. Neither of you shot the other. As a matter of fact...
I shot the Chuck.
LeCoster.
LeCoster, Archie?
Well, I thought he escaped.
No,
I'm not crazy. I do not escape. The fat one, he phones the police to tell them how I'm innocent.
Yes, I had the police announce the escape, however, for reasons of, should I say, strategy?
Well, on account of there are no bullet holes in me, you can say whatever you like, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Archie. That announcement helped heighten the tension our murderers were under.
And then they explode. The fat one, he says to me, Locasto, wait in the next room. Watch careful. Maybe there's trouble. I watch. And now? Now there's no more trouble.
Well, place looks a lot tidier now with all those bodies removed, huh?
Indeed. Archie,
I'll get you the bottle of beer. But first, make with an explanation. The
case was crystal clear, Archie.
Maybe, but I'm no crystal gazer. Sure, I know. Denby had things arranged in advance with Chuck in case anybody held a better hand than his own. Piper did. So Denby whispered to Piper after kicking the light switch and set him up for a shot by Chuck from the doorway. The angle would provide evidence against Locasto.
True. However, we had only Denby's word for it and Chuck's that the door was locked.
All right. We know, but you knew before Denby and Chuck blew up, huh?
The oil spots on the rug, Archie?
Well, they only showed the gun had bounced when the murderer threw it away. Spattered oil, very well-kept gun.
They showed more than that. Where were those spots in relation to the gun? Think back, Archie.
Spots in relation... Oh, sure. They were between the gun and the door.
Therefore, the gun must have been thrown from the door. Bounced twice, staining the rug before reaching its final destination.
Ah, I get it now. That told you who'd fired the gun. But there wasn't proof enough, so you set up a nice atmosphere of suspicion and had the boys give each other away. All right, Mr. Wolf, you're a genius, and you may have your beer.
Thank you, Archie.
As for me, I'm not a genius, but I remember a phone number. So if you'll excuse me, Mr. Wolf.
You're excused, Archie.
Thanks.
But before you call that number, may I remind you that Jean is a girl of macabre tastes who appeals to the ghoul in you.
Sure you may, but why bother?
In order to be able to warn you that a ghoul and his money are soon parted. Good night, Archie. Ah.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program. In the cast were Gerald Moore as Archie Goodwin, and Betty Lou Gerson, Jay Novello, Howard McNear, Barney Phillips, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Calculated Risk. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
My name's Regan. I work for Anthony J. Lyon, International Detective Bureau. They call me the Lion's Eye.
Jeff Regan, Investigator, starring Frank Graham as Regan with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. So stand by for mystery, suspense, and adventure in tonight's story of The Two Little Sisters.
When a 6-foot, 200-pound guy turns up with a knife in his back, maybe a short 100 pounds of cool green-eyed blonde did it. And maybe she didn't. Well, this time there were two blondes, sisters. They looked alike, but they were about as much alike as a sheepdog and a cobra. goes to show you can't tell by the package. Their names were Zemanski, Mary and Dolly Zemanski. They worked for the Everybody's Happy Pastime Carnival shows. It was old E. Happy Pastime himself who was sitting in the lion's office when I got there about noon.
Jeffrey, my boy, glad you've come in. I'd like you to meet our new client, proprietor of the Everybody's Happy Pastime Carnival shows. No doubt you've heard of them, Jeffrey.
Sure. How are you?
Laryngitis? Yeah, our friend here is troubled with laryngitis, Jeffrey. Purely psychological. A result of worry. Profound worry. Isn't that right, sir? Yes. Yes. Well, Jeffrey...
What do we do?
Now, Jeffrey, I'm glad you asked that question. To tell the truth, I envy you. Fine opportunity for you to get out of the city while I sit here sweltering in this heat. You, Jeffrey...
Get to the point.
Yes. Well, Jeffrey, the fact is our friend here leaves on the 2 o'clock plane for Phoenix, Arizona. Advance arrangements for the carnival.
Sure.
Well, meantime, the star performer of Everybody's Happy Pastime Carnival shows, a girl named... Now where's that piece of paper? I jotted it down. Here we are. Dolly Zemanski, the Queen of the Blades.
Ice skater?
Knife thrower.
Oh, I get it.
She's a knife thrower with the show, Jeffrey. Best in her line, they say.
Well, what's the trouble?
That's just it. Someone's been threatening her. A man named Rand. Rand. It's upsetting her, Jeffrey. Beginning to show in her work. That's what worries our client here.
What's Rand got on her?
Well, I don't know, Jeffrey. Our client doesn't know. Isn't that right, sir? Yes. No, but we'll retain to find out.
And get rid of him.
Exactly. Get rid of him. Get rid of him, Jeffrey.
Like the lion said, it was a chance to get out of the city. I drove Father Time back out to his carnival. He had to pick up his stuff and then make the 2 o'clock plane at International Airport. The carnival was set up on a couple of vacant lots out on Sepulveda. Big sign, Everybody's Happy Pastime Carnival Shows. Tents, trailers, Ferris wheel, sawdust, the usual stuff. The old guy pointed out Dolly Zemanski's trailer, and I was on my own. I didn't get far. Guy in a 1922 tux, 3 days whiskers, and a turban like a secondhand bird's nest stopped me.
Oh, there, how do you do, sir?
The only legitimate thing about the Swami was his breath. That was 90 proof.
You are Regan.
What's that to you?
I am Swami Al-Kaji. Step this way, please, into my tent. I will consult the crystal. The crystal ball tells me many things.
Yeah? Like what?
Sit right here, Mr. Regan.
Thanks.
The crystal ball tells me, Mr. Regan, that you've been hired to help Dolly Zemanski. Tells me you have been hired by... by the owner of our little carnival.
How much of that did he tell you?
Yes, Mr. Regan, it was he who told me. I saw you arrive together.
What do you know about Rand?
Fred Rand, let me see. Yes, let me see. The crystal ball is cloudy. The sand of time runs through the glass, Mr. Regan.
Cut it out.
What do you mean?
You're a Swami like Truman's a Republican.
Yes, true. Well, have a drink, Mr. Regan. I see much more in this than in the crystal ball. Say when.
When?
Here you are.
Thanks.
I'm a four-finger man myself, Mr. Regan. Been my ruin.
You said you had information.
Yes, there are two sisters.
Zemanski?
Yes, Dolly and Mary.
Who's married?
The younger sister.
She new to the show?
A few months with us.
Her sister get her the job?
Yes, Dolly Zemanski's our star performer. Naturally, she has influence.
Okay. What about Rand?
I will consult the crystal ball.
Look, I don't get paid by the hour. What's Rand got on Dolly Zemanski?
I don't know.
No?
I see letters falling in the crystal.
Okay. Play it your way.
F-Z. I can't see any more now. Perhaps if you'd care
see
to...
See you later.
Mr.
So
Regan. Mr. Regan.
Maybe the Swami had something to sell. But if I couldn't get it for free, I could go back and buy it later. It was only a little ways to Dolly Zemanski's trailer. Big, expensive job. Everything was wide open because of the heat, so I walked in. Nobody home. Lady's clothes lying around, theatrical makeup, grease paint stick. Picture of some round-faced guy with a crew cut signed, Yours Adoringly, no name. Knives and daggers are on. And a frosty blonde with green eyes in the doorway watching me.
What are you doing in here?
Homework.
It's clever.
Who are you?
That's what I ought to ask you.
Oh, guess. You're Dolly Zemanski.
No, I'm her sister.
Mary Zemanski.
Yes.
I'm Jeff Regan, International Detective Bureau.
You're a detective?
That's it. You joined the carnival about 4 months ago.
5 months.
5 months. Been in show business before?
No, I was a boy back home, but I...
That him?
What?
Photo on the dressing table.
No. Sister Pine.
Pine?
He's in love with my sister.
Pine. Pine, don't I?
Harold Pine. J.J. Pine's son.
Yeah?
You know, Pine warehouses. They're all over Los Angeles.
So your sister's going to marry them?
Why, I think so.
But maybe she isn't.
Mr. Regan,
supposing you give me what you know, hmm? About 4 days ago, a guy turned up, Rand.
Yes.
Your sister scare easy?
No, Mr. Regan, that's just it. She's strong-minded. She left home when she was 15.
Go on.
Well, life can't have been easy for her, you know, show business.
Just tell it.
Well, she's independent, Mr. Regan. I've tried to tell her...
What about Rand?
Mr. Regan, I can't tell you.
Lady, I've got a job to do. What about Rand?
I don't know.
Your sister's scared of him?
I...
She is or she isn't?
It's something else. She told me she didn't know him. She said he was trying to get fresh, but twice I shouldn't tell you this.
My fee says I help your sister.
All right. There's a little street, 2 blocks up Sepulveda. Twice I walked by there, this morning and 2 days ago. There was a green sedan parked there both times, and Fred Rand and my sister were in it. They were... Well, they seemed to be arguing. Mr. Regan, that's all I know.
Okay. How do I find your sister?
She performs in the main tent, but she must be just about through. She might be over there.
Okay. See you. I started for the main tent and got about halfway up the midway when he passed me, going down the midway, and into the big shiny trailer. Broad-shouldered, 6-foot guy with red hair. And when he went into the Zemanski sister's trailer, I knew he was Rand. I started for the trailer. I thought I heard voices quarreling. And then I knew something was wrong. That was Mary Zemanski screaming. I hadn't had my eye off the door of that trailer 60 seconds since I left. Nobody went in but Rand. Nobody came out. But I busted fast. I made the last 100 yards like Mel Patton on Dexedrine. But what I saw when I got inside that trailer stopped me cold. It was Mary Zemanski and Rand. But it wasn't like I figured. Mary was hanging onto the wall and staring down at the floor, sobbing. And on the floor was Rand, with a knife in his back. All right, give it to me. Give it to me fast.
No.
What happened? Come on.
No, I can't tell you. I can't.
But you've got 10 seconds before the whole carnival will be in here. What happened? Tell me what happened.
I won't talk.
All right, both of you, stand back at the end of the trailer.
Who are you?
Sergeant Post, police. Hands above your heads. All right. Clear away now. Clear back, folks. You were Dolly Zemanski?
No, I'm your sister, Mary Zemanski.
Your turn, mister.
Maybe we can take our hands down?
You armed?
Yeah.
Where till I get it? Hip?
Shoulder.
Okay. Let him down.
Thanks.
Got a permit to carry this?
Sure.
Show it.
Regan, private detective, International Detective Bureau. Here's the file copy.
Look good, Regan. You kill this guy? Okay, Regan. Well, maybe you'll tell me who the guy was.
His name was Fred Rand.
That check, Regan?
What I heard.
Maybe you knew Rand, Regan.
Nope.
How'd you get in here so quick?
Heard screams.
Sure.
What's the use of all this? You both know what happened.
No, what did?
Mr. Rand came in and he'd been bothering Dolly. Maybe he thought I was Dolly. We look a little bit alike. And he came in and...
And? Go on.
He struggled. And I killed him.
It hung together like the Jap Navy. She was sore at Rand because he'd been bothering her sister, so when the big 6-foot guy came into the trailer, she grabbed him and stabbed him in the back. Sure, it could have happened like that. But from the look that came on Sergeant Post's face, I could see he'd try to make it stick. He looked like a hungry kid at a bakery window. He was seeing Lieutenant Stripes. Well, half an hour later, Mary went off for the ride downtown in the paddy wagon. I figured it was a funny thing Dolly Zemanski hadn't showed up. I decided to look for her. She wasn't around. She'd finished her act a little bit before the ruckus started and looked like nobody had seen her since. Then I saw a tent with some stars and crescent moons painted on the front, and that reminded me of something. A phony swami with information for sale. He was inside. All right, Swami, get busy on that crystal ball and dish up some answers.
Yes.
Like FZ.
Yes, the letters FZ. The crystal is clearly...
Oh, clear it. It's a murder rap now. FZ what? Rand.
Yes, Mr. D.
Fred Rand.
Mrs. Fred Zemanski Rand.
Dolly Zemanski was his wife. Now you've said something. That gave me something to work on, but halfway to my car, I remembered something else. Something Mary Zemanski had said. A green sedan parked twice in the same place. Maybe it was parked there a third time. It figured the owner wouldn't be driving it away. He was taking a free ride as a guest of the county, to the morgue. It was there, green sedan, on the little street two blocks up Sepulveda. The door was unlocked. The registration on the steering post read, Fred Rand. That figured. The address was on a street called Delancey in San Francisco. But maybe I wouldn't have to go that far. There was a card down on the floorboards. One of those commercial hotel cards. Globe Hotel, Main Street. I stuck it in my pocket. That was when a guy said...
I'm gonna kill you, Fred Ray.
I hit the car door with my shoulder. That knocked him back, but he came in again and tried for me. I blocked it.
Why, you...
That was when I got a good look at him. He was the guy in the picture in the Zemanski sister's trailer. Yours adoringly, Harold Pine. I'd like to have stuck around and had a little talk with Harold Pine. Maybe he knew some answers. But one answer he didn't know was who killed Fred Rand. When he made that college try on me and called me Rand, it didn't take the FBI to figure he didn't even know Rand was dead. But it looked like Pine was going to be asleep a while, so I went downtown. The Globe Hotel. Last stop on the line for the canned heat crowd. Brass spittoons. Row of cracked leather chairs along the front. Two or three old guys dying in them. Nobody at the desk, so I picked up number 306 from the register and went up. The door wasn't locked. Inside, you could see why. Nothing in the joint but a brass bed. Cardboard suitcase on a chair with a couple of neckties in it. Fred Rand had been traveling wide. But there was something else in the suitcase stuck in the lining. Item torn out of the weekly variety, the show business sheet. It said a couple of knife throwers named Duncan and Dolly had checked out of Las Vegas for work at a spot called the Blue Dolphin Casino, Los Angeles. The dateline was half torn off, but you could make out the 46 at the end. There was a phone on the wall, and I tried the Blue Dolphin Casino. There was nobody home. Too early for a night spot. So I decided to let the lion work on that one.
The International Detective Bureau, Anthony J. Lyon, President speaking.
Lyon, I've got something for you.
Jeffrey, I'm glad you called. I've just talked to the proprietor of the Everybody's Happy Pastime Carnival Shows from Phoenix.
So we're off the job.
Well now, Jeffrey, what can we expect? We were retained to get rid of that fellow Rand, to relieve Miss Dolly Zemanski of any undue nervous stress that might endanger the box office value of her performance.
Go on.
Now, Jeffrey, it just seems that, the sister did the job for us.
Sure she did.
Jeffrey, I don't think I understand you.
You can understand this. This job we stick on.
Jeffrey, be reasonable. The matter's in the hands of the police.
They've got the wrong goose.
What's that?
I don't think she stabbed a 6-foot guy in the back. I think somebody pitched the strikeout in through the window.
Dolly Zemanski?
Maybe. I think that's what her sister thinks. I think that's why she confessed.
Oh, I see what you're driving at now. We're defending the innocent again. We're not in business for money, are we, Regan? Why should we be with the world full of poor unfortunates waiting to be held?
Cut it out.
Regan, from now on, if you want to work for charity, you work alone. You're fired.
That's the only good news I've had all day. I checked out of Rand's hotel the same way I went in. When I was crossing the street, I saw somebody coming up the other sidewalk. My high school geometry told me that if I walked fast enough, I could get opposite where my car was parked the same time she did. Okay, come on.
Let go of me!
Come on, sister. Get in the car.
You can't do this to me.
You're Dolly Zemanski, and I'm doing it. Get in there. And stay still. I don't like you, Dolly.
How do you know my name?
You look like your sister.
Mary?
Mary.
Who are you?
Never mind.
Well, where are you taking me?
A ride up Hill Street. There's a place to park above Temple. There's a nice view of the city jail.
Jail?
That's right. Jail. All right, there. Like I said, there's a good view.
What's the pitch, Regan?
How'd you get back?
The Regan? It's on the steering post.
You got good eyes.
Thanks, honey.
I didn't say that way.
So you don't love me. What's the pitch?
See that building down there? It's the city jail. Do you know who's in it?
No!
It's your sister.
Mary?
Mary.
Why?
She says she killed a guy named Fred Rand.
Fred Rand?
Never heard of Fred Rand, then. Then why were you going to the Globe Hotel? You never heard of that either.
You can get reason.
Talk, Williams. Okay, I will. You get the Pine Warehouses on the hook. It looks good, but there's just one thing wrong. Fred Rand. You're married to him. The guy turns up. Maybe he heard about Harold Pine. He blackmails you.
Okay, he blackmails me, so what?
So you want to get rid of him. You come back from your act this afternoon with the knives in your hands. You get near the trailer. The window's open. You see Rand inside arguing with his sister. That must have been an easy pitch for the star of the show. Your sister's locked up down there on a murder rap to cover you, and you've got nothing to say. Okay. I got nothing on you. Not now. But you'll talk. Later. Now get out. I got business. That gave me nothing, so I went down to the jail to try to see Mary Zemanski again. It took me an hour to find out I wasn't going to get to her. But I did find out one thing. That cop had done his job well. Mary had signed a written confession to the murder of Rand. I got in my car and bucked traffic out to Ventura Boulevard. I hit a gas station and checked the address of the Blue Dolphin. It was in Encino. That meant it was near the carnival and I could pick it up later. Everybody's happy pastime was doing peak business by the time I got there. The midway was lit up like a sailor on shore leave. But where I went, it was dark. Out in back of the Zemanski sister's trailer. Maybe I could pick up some proof that Dolly Zemanski pitched that night that killed Rand. I tripped over a temp rope and bumped into something. Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm Borky.
Come on out in the light.
Yes, sir.
You're Pine.
Yes, sir, I'm Pine. Harold Pine. But they call me Porky. Porky Pine. I reckon you could say it's a sort of a joke. Porky Pine? It started when I was in college.
Yeah. My name's Regan, private detective.
Oh, I owe you an apology, Mr. Regan. I mean it, at the car.
Skip it.
I thought you were Fred Rand.
Why were you gunning for him?
Fred Rand? Called her Dolly.
Dolly Zemanski. You're going to marry her, aren't you?
Well, I...
What's on your mind?
Well, well, now that there's been a murder...
Go on.
I think I better tell the truth.
Good idea.
You asked me if I was going to marry Dolly. Well, I am married to her. San Bernardino. Last Thursday. My father, J.J. Pine, reckons, Mr. Regan, because of the family money...
Sure. You couldn't have married Dolly Zemanski. She was married to Fred Rand.
Not for 3 years.
Huh?
They was divorced, Mr. Regan.
You know that?
Well, Dolly had the decree. How else could we have got a marriage last?
Did you see the divorce decree?
Oh, yes, sir.
When was it granted?
1946.
Month, you remember?
Yes, October.
Day?
Well, Mr. Regan, I don't see what...
What day?
October 14th, 1946.
October 14th, 1946. Okay.
Well, Mr. Regan, I don't understand...
Rand showed up again, huh?
Yes, sir.
So you decided to kill him?
He was molesting Dolly.
Sure.
Well, maybe I'd just beat him up.
You're a kid, Pine.
Maybe I am.
You're keeping bad company.
I don't think so.
Who do you think knifed Fred Rand?
I don't rightly know.
What were you looking for in back of that trailer?
Nothing. I didn't think of anything.
You know Dolly's sister, Mary?
I do.
You think she killed Fred Rand?
No.
Then who did?
I don't know.
Okay, Pine. You didn't, anyway.
Well, maybe I was just pretending I didn't know he was dead when I fought with you at his car.
No, Porky. You're not that smart.
Mr. Reagan, I reckon that's so.
Next stop was the Blue Dolphin Casino. The manager wasn't there, so I waited around. Must have been almost midnight before he showed.
My bartender tells me you're looking for me.
You're the manager, I am.
You bought it. In here.
You book acts?
Houston.
You ever hear of Duncan and Dolly? Knife throwers?
Did they ever play us?
1946. Maybe, October.
I could look it up.
Okay.
Over here. Files, over here.
Man, plenty of cheesecake on the wall.
Oh, those pictures? Acts that have played us.
Yeah?
Yeah. Autograph photos. The Mandy boy, Mandy is me, were just scared to love. Dimples Davis. Dimples. You see what I mean?
Yeah. See what you mean.
Yeah. October 1946?
Could be.
No. No. Hey, wait a second. Last week of September. 26th through the 29th. Last week of September 1946, Duncan and Dolly...
Let me see that. Dolly Zemanski and Harry Duncan, King and Queen of the Blades. Split week booking, September 26th to 29th. 1946?
I'm thinking King and Queen of the Blades. Gee. Wait a second. Behind this locker. Yeah, photos all over the place. I'm just remembering. We keep the leg on out where you can see it, but this stuff, you see... Yeah, like I'm remembering. The Mandy, sincerely, King and Queen of the Blades, Duncan and Dolly.
Let me see that picture.
Yeah. You recognize me?
Yeah, both of them. Dolly and Duncan.
Yeah? What'd it get you?
It gets me my answer. I made it fast back to the carnival. The midway was closed, but I could see a light on in one of the tents. I could hear voices. But when I walked in, the light went off.
Duncan. The light's back on.
That told me where they were. I started. Slow. I waited.
Duncan, don't. Put that knife down. Dunk, when's enough? Fran was enough!
All right, Duncan, I'm coming. The knife went past, took some air that belonged to me, and stuck in the tent pole. He shoved the table at me, and I shoved it back. He made it fly for the tent door, and that was when I got him. Turn the lights on, Dolly. Harry Duncan, the phony swami.
It's a rat.
You should talk.
He okay?
He'll come out of it.
He killed Rand, thought I'd take the fall.
You let your sister take the fall and kept your trap shut because you were scared of what he knew.
Knew what?
Blue Dolphin Casino, end of September 1946.
How do you know that?
When you were supposed to be in Nevada divorcing Rand. You gotta stay there 6 weeks, baby. You can't even leave for one day. Figure it out. You're perjured in the Nevada courts. Your divorce is no good. When you married Harold Pine, you weren't divorced from Rand.
You're a wise guy, Regan.
You don't get Pine. I'll take care of that. Your marriage to him is good. Like a $3 bill.
Thanks. Maybe I can do something for you sometime.
So the swami killed Rand. That's what I figured wrong. If Mary didn't stick Rand, it had to be a toss job. Somebody had to toss that knife through the trailer window. Somebody professional. I figured you. Till I saw that photo of Duncan and Dolly. Why'd he do it?
Because he hated Rand.
He loved you.
How'd you figure that?
Guys fall in love with dames like you. I don't know why.
We were a duo. Duncan and Dolly. We were going to get married, but I ditched him for Rand.
That figures.
Rand looked good a while. Dunk went on the bottle when I married Rand. Pretty soon he got too shaky for a knife act.
Ended up like this, the phony swami.
He said Rand had beat his time with me. He said he'd kill Rand if he got the chance. Didn't think he had the nerve.
He's coming out of it. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to talk to Dunk. So long, Regan.
Get out of here! That wrapped it up for me. The police took it from there, and after a few hours at headquarters, I headed back to my apartment. But if I figured it was that easy to get rid of the lion, I was in for a new set of figures. The lion was there, waiting, hat in hand.
Jeffrey, Jeffrey, my boy, you've come back at last. I heard all about it. I've been waiting for you, Jeffrey.
Sure. Candle in the window.
Jeffrey, will you ever forgive me? Will you forget the unkind words I've uttered, the meaningless, petty things I've said? Oh, I rue the day I mistrusted you, Jeffrey, my boy. It was madness.
Come off it, Fatso.
But, Jeffrey, I mean it. You were right all along. Mary didn't kill that man. Mary was an innocent girl caught in the tangled web of suspicion. But you, Jeffrey, you defended her in her most trying moments. A noble thing, Jeffrey.
But I'm fired.
Fired? Oh, nonsense, my boy, nonsense. Haven't I apologized? It's just that I feel so sad about that poor child, Mary, and that pine fellow without the bride he had taken to his heart. What will they ever do, Jeffrey?
Save your sympathy, Lion. They'll get along.
What? What do you mean by that?
Well, when I last saw them, they were sobbing it out on each other's shoulders.
You mean it, Jeffrey? They've discovered each other? How charming, how positively charming. And with all those millions he has, too. Millions of dollars.
Stop drooling, Fatso. There's nothing in it for you.
No, Jeffrey, I suppose not. But I can dream, can't I?
Jeff Regan, Investigator, is written by William Frug and William Fifield, directed by Sterling Tracy, and stars Frank Graham as Regan, with Frank Nelson as Anthony J. Lyon. Original music is by Dick Arant.